Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to the Golf Shake podcast. I'm joined, as always, by the self-confessed golf addict, Mr. Matt Holbrook, and it's season two, episode 10, Matt. Welcome.
10 weeks. Ten weeks. Right. 10 weeks of us. Shall we do something special?
You've had your eyelashes done this evening, haven't you? Or was that your missus?
That was Mrs. H. Oh, right. But I did squeeze. I squeezed 60 balls in at the range this evening.
Did you?
Yeah. So I had a lesson on Friday. Jumped straight to this, by the way. I had a lesson on Friday. Very productive, as it always is. Sometimes I'm at a stage where I'm not actually physically having a lesson. It's more a bit of supervised practice. So basically, Sam, my coach, uses the Skillist app now, and he does online lessons, but it's also a good place to store all our in-person lessons. Okay. So where he used to maybe send feedback on WhatsApp, now he does it all through this Skillist app, which is quite good. Yeah. So it's all in one place and easy to find. And he sent me through a drill today to do. So like a keen student, I was doing it in the front room because it doesn't involve a ball. I was doing it in the front room and it was like, yeah, do you know what? This feels all right. This feels natural. Just trying to get me exiting left a little bit quicker or swinging to the left. And it's, So I run straight to the range. He told me not to hit too many balls, so I didn't go mad. And it's early days, but signs are quite promising. I'm so excited. I'm buzzing.
Good.
Like, this is fresh, by the way. This is not something that happened like 4 hours ago. This is something that happened like half an hour ago.
Very good.
So, yeah. But what's happening? You were back from Turkey.
Last time I spoke to you, I was 2,500 miles away. So, yeah. And it was. Let me tell you, it was a damn sight warmer there than it is here. I came back on late Saturday and had to dig my car out of the snow in my pal's drive in Morley where I'd left it. It was still like 5 inches deep there. It was crazy. It was a bit of a culture shock getting back from, it was between sort of 18 and 20 degrees pretty much every day when I was in Turkey. So it was quite nice. Wearing shorts and polo shirt every day to coming back. And it was like, you know, the start of Cool Runnings when they get to Canada and they're like taking all the clothes out of their suitcase and putting them on. That's what I felt like when I got back to the UK on Saturday night. It was like emptying my suitcase and trying to warm up and dig the car out and defrost it and all that kind of stuff. Just what you want at 10:30 in the evening when you've just had to be honest, the trip home was a bit of a nightmare. It was just delays and flight was a lot longer than it should have been, and getting out of Manchester Airport was a pain. It's a small price to pay for having a real nice week in the sunshine and playing some golf for a change, mate. And, 6 rounds in 6 days is a bit of a baptism of fire for 2023 for me.
How did you play?
Mixed, I would say. Pretty rusty, as you'd expect. But
of course you're rusty, because you haven't picked up a club for months. I keep saying this to you.
I've hit some shots inside, haven't I? But it's not the same as score.
No, it's not.
Trying to score and with a card in your hand and having to make a putt or get up and down for different places. But I would say I've made some notes here, really. I mean, I drove it pretty badly, if I'm honest, the whole time I was there. The courses we played were pretty tight, and it was difficult to difficult to get any sort of confidence, because if you missed a fairway by 5 yards left or 5 yards right, you were literally chipping out sideways on some of the holes. So it wasn't the most kind of inspiring performance off the tee. But, I've got that new 3-wood that I've had, the Aerojet. I've got my trusty 5-wood that I've had for a while. It was great with them off the tee. Just the driver was letting me down a little bit. Irons were good. Short game was good, which normally that takes a while to get back. But my putting was pretty average as well, to be honest. Very, very unlike me. But it was just nice to play. I mean, mixed kind of scores. I did shoot under, I shot level once, under par once, and 3 rounds over par. So it wasn't amazing, but it was okay.
It's not bad. Not bad. Do you think that you wouldn't be as rusty if you had played some golf before you'd gone? I understand where you're coming from. Like, I know you don't like playing in the cold. I get it. But do you think it would have benefited you slightly if you had have just braved it in prep for this trip?
If I'm brutally honest, I think I'd have been worse.
Okay.
Because I think putting on greens that are slow and bumpy just doesn't prepare you for playing on good ones. It just
no.
I mean, driving the ball is fine, isn't it, over here? A lot of the courses that you play are a little bit more open. And I mean, Howley's fairly tight, to be fair, off the tee, but he's playing so short at the minute that you don't really need driver anywhere anyway. So
okay,
it's kind of difficult. I suppose I don't know. There's arguments for and against, I suppose. I don't think my short game would have been as good because chipping off wet lies around greens at the minute is not very nice. And over there, when you were chipping out of different grasses around the greens and having to make good strikes to get up and down, it kind of makes your short game good, if you like. It certainly finds you out if it's not. So
yeah. I mean, I would testify for the condition of the course. You know, being quite important. I'm not saying you can't shoot a low score if the course isn't in good condition, but it certainly helps if it's better lies, better greens.
The last two rounds I played before Christmas were in winter conditions, and I shot 3 under and 5 under, but it didn't really feel like proper golf. Do you know what I mean? It was kind of, it was almost making it look falsely good, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because as I'm asking you, like, I'm looking on my England Golf app, and three of my last four counters, which have been since the start of February, two of them have been at Felixstowe, which is, you know, dry, linksy course, where I've shot, 78 and 79, and that's a par 72, so 6 over and 7 over. Still in windy conditions, mind. And my other one was at Purdis Ipswich, which is like a heathland. Where I shot 4 over there. Both of those courses, greens are absolutely pure for this time of year and rolling absolutely incredibly. So maybe, you know, I'm not surprised that I've shot good scores on those types of courses compared to, you know, my home course, which as a Parkland course does take a little bit of time to just get back to where we like it to be this time of year. I mean, look, it was closed all this weekend. It was disaster for me. It's interesting. I always like to pick your professional brain.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, so I've played 6 rounds, but one of them was a Texas scramble, so it's obviously difficult to know what you'd have shot in those conditions. But for the 5 rounds where I've actually played my own ball, I was 10 over par combined for 5 rounds, so it's not dreadful.
No.
I mean, it's not great. I mean, it's 2 over, isn't it, really, on average, which is okay, but I mean, for the first 5 rounds of the year, I'll take it. Do you know what I mean? And that we'll hopefully get better.
I'm sure it'll get better.
But going to winter conditions, I mean, next Thursday, we're going to Dundonald. So if the weather doesn't improve, that's going to be a fairly wet and blustery affair.
I'm not sure what have they got up there at the moment. Have they had snow? Have they got snow?
I don't think so. I think it's just been a little bit wet. But I saw a video from one of the Ayrshire touristy kind of golf tour operators up there, and it looked fine, to be honest. You know, it's always fairly dry because it drains so well, doesn't it? So, it looked a little bit rainy, but I don't think it's too bad.
Okay.
Proper links weather, mate. So
proper links weather. Well, it's been like blowing 30, 35 mile an hour down here today. So
yeah, it's been a little bit like that up here. Like, again, you know, just complete stark contrast to what I've seen for the last 7 days.
It's crazy.
Nice. But yeah, I mean, going back to the last 7 days, it's been a hell of a time in the world of golf, hasn't it? I mean, we've had one of the biggest tournaments of the year in the Players Championship going on. The DP World Tour has been back in action again, and we'll start there if you like. So, Magical Kenya Open. Did you watch much of this, Matt?
I didn't watch loads. I did see some, a little bit on Saturday morning and a little bit on Sunday morning. But I'll be honest, what I found was happening this weekend with the coverage was the Magical Kenya was on, and then it flipped to the Players. Like, the Players was on literally like wall to wall. And I'll be honest, I chose the Players over Kenya. But from what I did see, the course looked relatively challenging. You know, quite dry. I'm seeing a lot of golfers hitting irons off par 5 tees, for example, because driver's just too much and it's going to run out, etc. And it's Looked like a good fun course, and yeah, there was obviously some low scores to be had.
Yeah, I mean, good to see Jorge Campillo win third time on the European Tour or DP World Tour. As it is, you know, very, very good golfer and obviously decent around tricky golf courses as well, having won in Morocco and Qatar before that as well. So, I mean, you know, very, very good golfer. And, it was good to see some names that I've not seen before as well on the leaderboard. So second place, Masahiro Kawamura, who, you know, I don't really know much about, but saw him play, you know, obviously a few holes on the Sunday when he was doing really well and looks like a really good player. Santiago Tarrio and Ryo Hisatsune as well, that have all finished, you know, top three. But then some of the kind of more well-known, I suppose, to us names up there, Bobby McIntyre did pretty well. I saw nearly hold out for an albatross on the par five as well.
Yeah, he actually put himself in a really good position, didn't he, after his Friday and Saturday rounds, and just didn't really get going on Sunday.
No, and you know, he's well overdue a good performance. I think Ashley Chester's did pretty well. You know, he's had a fairly steady sort of last few years really, and be good to see him get up there again. But yeah, just lots and lots of good golf really. You know, personally, Marcus did pretty well, had a pretty average third round in, you know, by his standards really, chucking in that 76 in round three, which probably ended up costing him about 30 grand, which is not so great. But tied 35th, picked up some money, picks up some race to buy points and sort of move on. I think he's having 3 or 4 weeks off now, I think, sort of recharge his batteries and get ready again for the rest of the season. So good luck to Marcus. But I mean, the big story, I don't know if you saw this, Matt, but Mutahi Kabugu, who the Kenyan player, made the cut on the mark, hold about 30 footer on the 18th to make the cut on Friday, only Kenyan player in the field over the weekend, and finished tied 65th, won himself about $4,000, and yeah, just a really, really great story.
I didn't see it live, but I saw the social media clips. I think Iona Stevens had the video of him holding a putt. It was quite a lengthy putt that he held to make the cut as well, Friday. And everyone just went mad, and it's, you know, it's moments like that I think we watch any type of sport for, really, isn't it? It's
especially home kind of talent that, you know, the fans are going to follow over the weekend, and it gives, you know, the home host nation of the event something to cheer, doesn't it? It's great.
Yep, definitely.
Right, moving on, the big one this week. So the fifth major, the Players, yeah? So
do we still call it the fifth major? I hate that he gets that tag.
It's unofficial. To be honest, it should be the fourth major, because it should have been off the USPJ. The Players is massive, isn't it? It's an absolutely huge tournament, and one that everyone wants to win. Obviously, the prize money is phenomenal, which we'll get on to, particularly concerning Tyrrell Hatton in a little while. But Scotty Scheffler, amazing finish, 5-shot win. Literally cruised it, didn't he, on the Sunday, and just looked like no one was ever going to catch him.
It was comfortable, but I'll be honest, I think everybody else around him made it comfortable. I was hoping for a little bit more from Minwoo Lee.
I think he'll be shooting 4 over in the last round when you're in a position like that. It's very un-Minwoo Lee, really, to be honest.
It's good. I mean, look, it's good. It's good learning for him, I'm sure. But, you know, when we sit here and we say, you know, Scotty Scheffler won by 5. You know, let's not forget he won by 5 to Tyrrell Hatton, who, you know, shot the absolute lights out and was in the clubhouse, you know, probably an hour and a half before Scotty Scheffler finished. So it wasn't like it was, nip and tuck with him. You know, he, you know, had a brilliant Sunday, obviously, and incredible back nine yesterday. But, you know, he was never really in it. Tyrrell Hatton, do you know what I'm saying? And again, I can say the same for Victor Hovland. You know, he's clearly got an issue. Although, to be fair, it wasn't necessarily Sunday that was poor this week. It was his second and third round. Yeah, there was just nobody that really kind of got to him, you know, which I felt was a shame because I was ready for a fight, ready for a battle, but I just didn't see it. But yeah, he was just Scotty Scheffler when he's in that sort of mood is you can't beat. And if you haven't seen the clip that the PGA Tour have shared on their social media channels of, it's basically just a 44-second clip of Scotty Scheffler laughing.
Have
you seen it? It's brilliant.
Yeah.
But it was a great event. I love watching it. The drama on the three hole in ones on the 17th, which has never happened before. So yeah, it was good. Good.
Yeah, and obviously some great performances other than Chef that you mentioned, Hatton, who talked to us about how much money he made on his back nine.
Oh yeah. excuse me. So his projected earnings at the turn was $143,000 when he was 5 under. And then by the time he finished, obviously shooting 29 on the back nine, he took home $2.725 million for a solo second place. And the birdie on the last obviously meant, well, actually, in the end, he was comfortable, wasn't he? Because he was in second by 2 shots.
Yeah.
I mean, that's incredible, back nine. Incredible amounts of money. Yeah.
$2 million back nine, really. So that's just amazing. But
And a little shout out as well to Max McGreevy, who probably won't be listening to his podcast, so he won't mind us bringing it up. Had a 20 shot swing from his first and his second round. He shot 69 on Thursday and then followed that up with an 89 on Friday. Just a reminder to everybody listening, golf is hard.
Yeah, very hard.
Unless your name's Scotty Scheffler.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. He makes it look very easy. Some good performances, though, from Max Homer again.
Really well.
Justin Rose, really solid performance. Your man Ricky Fowler tied 13th.
Good to see that.
The man who I thought was going to do really well, Zayden Hout, tied 13th as well. Didn't have his best weekend, but was right in it for a time. Great to see David Lingmerth up there again. Not seen him for a while. Obviously lives in Florida. Playing again this week at the Valspar, so good to see him turning in some good performances. Ones we probably need to talk about. Number one is obviously Rahm withdrawing, which was not good. Hopefully he's back out playing again very, very soon. And the other one is Rory missing the cut.
Yeah, so on Rahm, it wasn't an injury. It was just like a stomach bug.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he will be absolutely fine. With Rory, yeah. I mean, look, there's talk about the fact that the last few weeks has taken its toll on him. I can get that. I think he needs to take a back seat on all things golf politics now and just get his head down. You know, as we record this, we're the 13th of March. We've got like 24 days until the Masters starts. Yeah. I would like Rory McIlroy now to lock himself away. As a Rory fan, I'd like to see him lock himself away, stay away from TV cameras, stay away from press conferences, and just focus, put his blinkers on, just focus on his golf for the next 2 weeks and get himself in the best possible place for the Masters.
Yeah. I mean, I guess he's going to play the match play, is he?
Yes, because it's a designated event, so he will be playing the match play.
Yeah, so he's kind of made himself have to play. So we'll be seeing him there. But yeah, hopefully he gets in some sort of form and can turn up to Augusta and put in a good performance. That's what a lot of us want to see. You get into this game to be sitting in press conferences. He got into it to be winning majors. So that's hopefully he does that.
Yeah.
So on to this week, mate. So we've got, I've alluded to that, the Valspar this week. So Innisbrook Resort, Copperhead Course in Florida again. Not as strong a field as last week, but there's still some great players there. We've got Fitzpatrick, Fleetwood, Rose, Spieth, JT. Some very good players there. Lingmerth, we spoke about, playing really well. Matt Wallace, English guy as well. So hopefully we're going to see a performance from one of those. Which one are you tipping to do well this week?
Joel Damon.
You reckon? Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
To be honest, I want him to be world number one, if I'm really honest with you.
Yeah, I think lots of people would like to. Look, he's What I would say, it's good to see some of the bigger names playing because they're signing up to these designated events. I think a lot of people think that, you know, they're just going to rock up to these designated events and not care about any of the others. You know, so the Justin Thomases of this world, the Matt Fitzpatricks, the Jordan Spieths, you know, these guys are going to these events because they want to play, which I think is good to see. So you know, it's going to be a tough. It was good to see Tommy Fleetwood play well.
Yeah,
well, I wouldn't put it past him to do pretty well this week as well. But yeah, everyone will root for Joel Damon, so why not?
As they should. And yeah, I mean, I could see Spieth doing quite well this week. I think I'd like to see Matt Wallace put another decent performance in and kind of get back to his best too. But I mean, for me, I think Spieth is the one. I'm going to put some, well, I'm not going to put any money on him, but if I did, he would be the man, I think.
Would he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is Fowler playing? I'm not sure.
Let's have a look at the list. I don't
think he's far off winning some, you know, Ricky Fowler.
Hey, you know, his game looks decent. I don't see him on the list. Do we know his world ranking?
No, I've no idea.
Nah, me neither.
Will he be playing at the Masters?
I don't think he's qualified.
Hasn't he? That's right. A shame. That's just the sort of thing I could see him winning.
He's got a good record around that course.
Yeah.
Notice I didn't call it a track.
A track.
I can't stand that term for golf course.
I'd put
that in my golf one room 101. The term track.
Tough track.
Track's what runners run around.
Yeah. So we've got DP World, we're in South Africa again. It's the SDC Championship at St. Francis Lake in the Eastern Cape of South Africa, which must be a horrible place to have to visit in March to play golf. I mean, it's just wall-to-wall sunshine and wonderful golf courses, and yeah, not jealous at all. But yeah, we've got a decent field there. Adrian Ortegi, Rafa Cabrera-Bello, who's doing really well. We've got Dan Bradbury, who won last time they were in South Africa. He's had a couple of weeks off, will probably be revitalised. So is Dan Gavins, obviously coming off the back of a win in Dubai. So, yeah, let's hope they do well again, really.
Yeah, I think the Spanish guys do look pretty strong, Ortegi and Adrián Aus, but... do you know, I'm going to go for a guy who I think has got one of the coolest names in golf. So he's playing in his home country, Oki Stridham.
Yeah, do you know what? I've got him written down here as he's my, because this is obviously flooded with South African players. Yeah, as you know, as it should be. But he's the one I've picked out as well as the one I think is going to do really well. Yeah. You know, he's won twice on the DP World Tour before. Yes. And yeah, he's of all the... I mean, there must be 40 South African players in the field this week. I've not actually counted, but there seemed a lot. But he's the one out of them that kind of stands out to me.
Yeah. Well, he won his last outing, didn't he, at Singapore?
Yeah.
So he's coming fresh off the back of a victory. But he's, you know, he had that win and then, you know, it's kind of taken a month off, which...
Fair play.
Yeah, I suppose so. Why not? Hopefully
he's partied hard.
I reckon he has.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to watch both of those this week and see, you know, people's form heading towards major season, really. And you know, hopefully we're going to get a glimpse of the ones that we think are going to contend round Augusta. You know, the likes of Spieth and Justin Thomas are never going to be far away from finding some form. Obviously, people like Fitzpatrick, Tommy Fleetwood, Justin Rose, who we all want to see play well. And then some are taking the week off, obviously, and we'll probably see them next week. But yeah, I mean, both tours now offering up some good, you know, some good golf, some great players, and hopefully, like I say, carries on in that vein leading up to the Masters.
Mm.
So, away from professional golf then, Matt, what's going on with you in the next 7 days? So, between now and when we speak next Monday, what are you up to?
Do you know what? So not a lot. So, I had my day out last Tuesday. at the Seaside, where I played quite well. We managed as a pair, so it's better ball. We managed 95% or 85% handicap, whatever it is. I think we managed 42 points as a pair, which got us closer to the bottom than it did the top. If I remember rightly, I think 52 points won.
Wow.
Which is just, it's silly. To be honest, like, I play in these events, so I do five or six of these every year through the winter. Look, first off, let me just say, I don't do them to win the events, right? They're good value days out. The fish and chips offer is amazing. You know, there's a group of us that go, like, we get four from, you know, six or seven of us in a group. We mix up the pairs, and it's just good, fun day out by the seaside. However, having said that, the one time, so the guys that come in second with 46 points, you know, even that as a score is quite high, but for pairs, better ball around that course, I can see it. The par fives, depending on the wind, are gettable, and three of the five par fives are all low stroke indexes. So myself off five, I actually get three of my five shots are on par fives. So if you can hit the ball long and straight, there's a good chance that you can score well around there in terms of a Stableford score. But 52 points is just silly. It is, you know, what is that? 16 under between them.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah, but look, you know, it won't put me off going back. It's not the course's fault. It's not the venue's fault, and that's what we go for. So I had that on Tuesday. Had my lesson on Friday. The golf course was then closed over the weekend, which I was devastated because this weekend was my weekend to play golf. Which means I'm now scratching around trying to work out how and where I'm going to fit a game of golf in this week, because I won't be playing this weekend. That is my life. That's where we are. The only other thing that was good to happen was that I got an email from the golf club to say they're doing trophy presentations before the AGM on the 30th of March, and my name's on the list to go and collect my trophy that I won the major comp last year.
Good.
That's it. Still haven't got my new golf clubs. Cobra, if you're listening, I'm still waiting by the door every day for DPD.
Come on, Cobra, you're better than that.
They are better than that. The most annoying thing is, like, I go to the driving range, the guy's behind the counter, like, what you got? They're looking in my bag, like, has it not come yet? I'm like, no, not yet. I go out in the range, I see people, I know, oh, I've not got the new ones yet. And it's like, no, they're not here. And I'm having to answer questions. Somebody actually sent me a post on Instagram from somebody else that had got new Cobra Club saying, I bet you wish this was you. So I'm literally getting it from all angles. But it will be worth the wait. Don't panic.
Well, speaking from someone who's got an Aerojet 3-wood, yeah, which is worth the wait, mate.
All right, don't go on about it.
But yeah, it's they're very, very good. So
yeah. So what's up with you now? So you've had your turkey week. That was nice. You're back to reality now. You're back up, you know, up north.
Yeah, I mean, to some extent. I mean, I've got another trip that I've got some members I'm taking to Dundonald next Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So looking forward to that. So it's a bit of a coaching trip, which I've actually still got two spaces for. So if anyone's listening and wants to come to Dundonald next Thursday, you're more than welcome. But yeah, just taking a group up. We're going to play four times. Just fingers crossed that the weather's going to be kind to us, you know. So you can get some unbelievably lovely times in Scotland at this time of year. You can get some absolutely horrible ones as well. So hopefully it's more the former than the latter. But yeah, just busy with stuff at the club. So I'm waiting. It just stopped coming in all the time at the moment. So there's new things coming into the shop, whether it's bags or I had a load of shoes in today, and I'm waiting for waiting on Cobra Puma, actually, for a big slat wall unit that's going to go in the shop with light boxes in it and all sorts of stuff that look really cool. So all the clothing's here and ready. I just need that to merchandise it all on. So that should be coming tomorrow, maybe Wednesday, I think. So that'll look really good, cool. So I'll put some pictures of that on social media when I've got it done. What else? Lessons and fittings and stuff this week. I've got a big Callaway demo day on Friday, which is filling up nicely. So there's quite a few people booked in to come down for that. So again, I'm just kind of praying the weather's going to be all right. Luckily, we can go inside if it's not. So So it's not too bad. But yeah, I'd rather do the demo day outside. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see how Mother Nature treats us in the next few days. Busy over the weekend with the members comp on Saturday. And then, yeah, into next week again, more coaching before we head to Dundonald on Thursday. So, yeah.
So with your trip to Dundonald, right, as a coaching trip, talk me through that. Sell me the idea of coming on a coaching trip with you.
Well, I mean, basically, it's perfect at this time of year to get you ready, hopefully, just before the season's about to start. Yeah, so we've got coaching every single day when we're there. So whether it's short game or putting or long game stuff on the range, you know, you've been to Dundonald yourself and you know how good the facilities are
there. I was just about to say, do you know what? The one thing you haven't got to sell to me is the facilities at Dundonald Links, because there is nowhere better to go and practice, you know, like, obviously don't go there and not play the golf course. But if you were to go there just for practice, the driving range is just amazing. The chipping greens, the putting greens is all great. So go on, carry on.
It's great. I mean, there's everything you can possibly want there. So the way that I've kind of structured the trip is that, you know, we'll head there on the Thursday, play just after lunch on the Thursday at Dundonald, check in the lodges afterwards. We've got a meal that night in the Canny Crow, in the restaurant in the clubhouse there. Private dining in the whiskey snug up there. We've got like a whiskey tasting experience as well, which you can't go to Scotland without stuff like that. So hopefully a bit of theatre for the guys I'm taking to enjoy. The next day we're playing at Western Gales quite early in the morning, but we'll have coaching beforehand so people can come to the range before they play if they want to. If they struggled with anything on the Thursday, potentially we can have a look at that. But we'll also be doing, you know, a designated clinic each day. So whether it's short game, whether it's putting, whether it's long game, how to play links golf, whether it's things like flighting the ball down or how to get out of a pot bunker, all that sort of stuff that we kind of focus on. But it's the stuff around the golf as well. So not only are you playing great golf courses, so the likes of, like I said, Dundonald and Western Gales, but then we'll play Dundonald again and then Prestwick the following day. So you've got four great rounds of golf on three different golf courses there. We're staying in the lodges there, the six-bed lodge with the pool table in it and all that kind of thing, as well as being able to have two slap-up meals in the Canny Crow as well in our own private dining room. So all that kind of stuff, you know, it's just a great experience for the guys going up there, as well as the coaching and having myself on hand to, you know, to help you with your golf at any time you need it as well. So it's really kind of an all-encompassing sort of trip just to get you ready for the golf season, and with it just being around the corner, the only thing I can't guarantee is that the weather's going to be nice. So hopefully, you know, the golfing gods will smile on us and Dundonald end of next week's going to be beautiful.
So look, I do want to ask you a couple more questions, right? As a almost as a potential customer. So yeah. one of my concerns, firstly, is you go on one of these coaching trips, because, you know, let's be honest, you're not the only professional that does them, and I've always looked at them and I thought to myself, what happens if you get a, you know, a group of, say, I don't know, tell me, how many people would you take in a group?
I mean, max, I would probably take 12 myself. If it was any more than that, I'd probably want someone else to come with me as well. Okay. So another coach, I mean. Yeah. I've looked at this one. So I didn't know how many people were going to come to Dundonald. And obviously this time of year, it's not particularly, you know, great weather-wise sometimes. But I still was hopeful that we'd get a few more. But I'm hoping that we're going to have about 10 of us, I think, which should be quite a nice number, really.
Yeah. So does that give you, as a coach, does that give you the opportunity to do an equal amount of, say, individual coaching, or is it all based on group sessions?
It's a mixture. So what I'll try and do each morning is have an hour set out for a particular clinic that we're going to do, whether it's short game or whatever. But then I'll also set aside another hour or so where people can just sort of roll up and if they want a lesson, we can have a bit of a look. Yeah. So if there's anything they're struggling with particularly, we can sort of focus on that and sort of get them ready for playing that round of golf that morning. So yeah, I'm just going to be up, you know, an hour before, 2 hours before we play golf each day. I'll be on the range there offering that service of if you want to turn up for a session, you know, a one-on-one session, you can do. If you don't, then we'll do the clinic, or, you know, failing that, you don't have to do that. We can just go out and play golf, you know, and we'll kind of mix the groups around. So I get to play with everyone while I'm there, and get to have a bit of a look at their game while we're playing too. And it's a good way to get going, really.
Yeah. Okay. Look, it's always something that has potentially interested me. I have done group coaching, and well, as I've done group coaching, I haven't done group coaching, but when I learned Aimpoint, that was a day at Woburn, yeah. And I did Aimpoint in the morning and then kind of like a short game clinic in the afternoon. And I think there was about 12 people on that, and actually it was fine. But I've always wondered about, you know, these group coaching trips where, you know, if you get a complete mixture, you know, if you've got a scratch golfer and you've got a guy off 36 who's, you know, struggles to get into a bunker, let alone get out of one. You know, and you've got a scratch golfer there, obviously putting those two in a group clinic together is going to get a bit of a mismatch of what people want. So I've always wondered how you guys kind of manage that.
I mean, at the same time though, that that sort of higher handicap player will take a lot from watching a scratch golfer, and you know yourself, it's good to play with better players, isn't it, to help you improve. But then for that scratch player, they're going to get to play golf with me. They're also going to get to talk to me about, you know, as much as I don't get to play absolutely tons, I'd fancy myself playing some decent golf at times, and then certainly knowing how to help someone improve no matter what level that they're at, whether they're at all professional or complete beginner. Do you know what I mean? So it's good for even that scratch player to learn. You know, they may never have played links golf before. I've got guys at my club who are off plus figures and they've never even played golf in Scotland or anything like that.
Yeah.
And so it's just, I think the experience, as much as anything, it's good that I think these things work best if you've got a group of your friends going as well. You know, if there's three or four of you that kind of regularly play together, or kind of you all know when you go away on trips, whether it's, you know, playing different sports, if it's rugby or football or, you know, team sports, you don't really have that in golf. So to go on a golf trip with a bunch of lads or a bunch of ladies that you play with every week, it's a good way, I think, of learning and getting better as well. Plus, it's the experience and the kind of memory side of it as well, isn't it? You're not going to go and play Dundonald Links every day. You're not going to go to the home of the Open Championship at Prestwick every day, are you? So, I mean, that those sort of, I just want the experience to be just as good as the kind of what you'll learn on the golf course too. So it's stuff that you won't generally get to. You can't just book and go and do. Do you know what I mean? You can have it as an experience.
Yeah, interesting. Well, so when is that? When do you go?
So we go.
Is that a week before the Masters?
Yeah, so we head over next Thursday. So that's the 23rd of March. So we play golf the 23rd, 24th, 25th, 26th, staying over each of those evenings, and then we drive back on the morning of the 27th, Monday. So. So yeah, it's a good 4 nights, and like I say, if anyone wants to come, or if anyone lives in Ayrshire and wants to tag along and play a bit of golf with us, you're more than welcome to do that as well, because we've got a little bit of space on some of the golf courses. But yeah, if you want to contact us, you can do info@golfshake.com or through my general social media channels as well. But yeah, it should be a good trip, and at the minute we've got, you know, a good group of sort of 8-9 of us that are going, but if we can make it 10, 11, 12, that'd be awesome.
So I think you are probably playing two of my, I want to say top six, top seven courses I think I've ever played.
Yep. I'm talking Western Gales.
Yeah. And Prestwick.
Yeah.
Now, just on Dundonald Links, right? Don't get me wrong. That's... I think that's in, so I use this Where I Play Golf website to rank all my, any Golf Shake user can also log into a website called Where I Play Golf, and you can do your rankings, so you can rank your courses. And so yeah, so I've got Prestwick as number 5, Western Gales as number 6, and Dundonald Links is actually number 16.
Right.
But there's some good, naturally there's some good courses on that list.
I personally think Dundonald's better than both for me.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you know what? So I think it's just the day we caught Western Gales was just nice. And I know it rained a little bit at the start, didn't it? But
yeah,
after that, it was just peaceful, quiet, tranquil, raw.
It has some unbelievably good holes on it. The ones I can think of are sort of 8, 9, 10 in there that are just amazing, particularly the par 3, which is that 8. Yeah.
Yeah.
That you play. Yeah. I mean, that is just a wonderful, wonderful hole, and that you're close to the sea. I think that's great. Prestwick's obviously got a bit of the magic of having the first few Open Championships there, and it's quite a quirky layout. As you know, these golf courses, by the way, you can see on some of the YouTube videos we've done on the Golf Shape YouTube channel, where we've played Western Gales, we've played Prestwick, and we played Dundonald's, and done both written and video reviews on all of them, haven't we? When we've done those, so yeah, you can check those out on the YouTube channel as well. But yeah, you'll see what we mean if you've never been and played these golf courses. But yeah, I just think as a championship golf course that would stand up to European Tour standard, I think Dundonald out of those three is better, just purely because it's longer, isn't it? Yeah, and it's kind of it's set up to play tournaments on, isn't it?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you wanted to take a tournament up there, you wouldn't think twice about taking it to Dundonald Links now. You know, I think I look at it from an experience perspective as well as just the golf course.
Yeah.
But look, it's in some illustrious company, and every time I speak to people, my top 10, my top 15 changes all the time.
I suppose the only thing it's lacking is the history element as well, isn't it? You know, that's one of the things that's so impressive about when you go to Prestwick and Western Gales. And I just remember when we walked in the locker room at Western Gales, it's so cool, isn't it? Like all the old, like wooden
sort of
lockers and everything that's in there. It's just, you just know it's been there 100-odd years. And yeah, it just looks fantastic. And the same at Prestwick, you know, you can almost feel golf in history when you're there, can't you? And you're kind of walking in the footsteps of some of the people who made this game what it is.
Yeah. Well, actually, when I look at my top courses, it's, you know, Turnberry, St. Andrews, the old course, Glen Eagles, St. Enedoc. I think St. Enedoc is massively underrated. Have you played down there in Cornwall?
No, mate, I haven't. I've never been to Cornwall in my life. Ever.
Okay. Then I've got a few like places like the old course in Villamora, for example, is in my top 10. I played in Mauritius when I was on my honeymoon at a place called Isle of Surfs, which is on a little island. So that, for example, right, that's not the best golf course. If I was looking at just the golf course, that probably wouldn't even get into the top 20. But it's on its own little island in whatever sea it's in. And you have to get on a boat with your golf clubs over to the island, and then you get picked up, and it's the views are just to die for. So that kind of bumps that up for me, you know. Where else? Dumbarney's in there. Walton Heath is in there. It's not, you know, you get to that point with, you know, and I know we're going off a bit on a different conversation now, but you can make arguments for every golf course probably in my top 20. You could almost make an argument that it could be higher, it could be lower.
Yeah, and a lot of it is personal, like you say as well. Do you know what I mean? It's memories you have of certain places and kind of, you know, sometimes might be an Open that you've watched bloody 30 years ago that kind of got you into golf. It might be that golf course that kind of... See, I've always really liked Hoylake, and a lot of people don't think, you know... up there with the Open courses, that it's one that they particularly like, but I've absolutely always loved it because I just remember Tiger absolutely tearing everyone to pieces around there. Just that side of it just kind of elevates it for me, really, and having played it myself. But yeah, I mean, we'll all have, you know, and even like the course I grew up playing in Lincolnshire, do you know what I mean? I hold that probably higher than it probably should be in many people's lists, just because of the memories you have of that's where you started playing golf and that's where your family play golf. I go in the clubhouse there and there's, you know, my granddad and my grand's name on some of the boards and things like that they've won. Do you know what I mean? And that's what makes it special to me. Do you know what I mean? And we've all got our own golf courses that kind of, you know, probably won't be on anyone's top 10, but they're on yours, you know?
It's so subjective. It is. And I do enjoy having the conversation with people around, you know, this course, that course, You know, because everyone that you meet in golf has played somewhere, and they'll tell you it's better. And yeah, it's I always find it interesting. It's always a good conversation piece. That's why we love this game.
Absolutely, and you can sit there for hours arguing about why one course is better than another, can't you? But
absolutely can. But whatever happens, wherever you go and play, make sure you visit Golf Shake website. When you put your score in, it gives you a little prompt to leave a review at the end, and then you can let everybody know what you think of that golf course.
Absolutely. And on the kind of video review that we were talking about before, we've got a few things coming up this week as well. So there's some new videos that have hit the channel while I've been away. So there's the hybrid review one that we did. So we kind of put some of our favorite hybrids that we've had chance to test so far this year through their paces and kind of rank them. So we've had hybrids from TaylorMade, obviously the two different Stealth 2 models. We've had two models from Callaway. We've had which one, other ones did we do? The Wilson hybrids, the Cobra ones as well that we put in the test, and yeah, kind of give our opinions on what we thought. We've also got a video coming, which I'm just finishing off this week, on the new FootJoy Hyperflex carbon shoe that I tested out in Turkey, which was very good. So yeah, that video should be coming out. And myself and Tom are filming some stuff on Thursday. I'm not quite sure what we're doing yet, but we've got so much stuff that we need to do reviews off. One of them is the new sort of adjustable putter from TaylorMade as well, the new spider putter that's out there. So we'll probably be doing a review of that. Cool. So yeah, there's tons and tons and tons of stuff coming, really. And as soon as the weather improves as well, and we can get out in the sunshine and do a bit more course review stuff, as well as some head-to-heads on some of the latest products out on the golf course, we're going to be doing that as well. But also, if there's anything you guys want to see, so if there's any reviews that we haven't done that you want to see, let us know. I know some of you, from the comments that we look at on YouTube, things like, we haven't had any Ping product to do any review of this year so far. So G430, we have not touched a single one of their golf clubs. So Ping, if you're listening, send us some kit. We'd love to do a review. There's people that want to watch it, so come on. And Titleist is the other one. Yeah, so we've had nothing from them either, so no way of testing. Cleveland Strixon, I'm waiting on their stuff come in. They've had a bit of a problem with getting hold of products, so we've got some of the new ZX iron range, as well as drivers, fairways, hybrids, driving irons, all sorts of stuff that we're waiting on from them as well. So hopefully we've got lots more content coming your way. But yeah, obviously, we've got the website where you can see some of the written content that we've got. We've got the YouTube channel, but we've also got the social media platforms as well. So whether it's Instagram, whether it's Facebook, or whether it's Twitter.
It's a good, solid roundup, that.
Absolutely. Matt, it's been a pleasure, as always, to chew the fat and talk about what's going on in golf, but also a little bit about our own trials and tribulations on the golf course. So until next time, mate, I'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
Bye.